First 12 verses here, Revelation chapter 9. Now, it's interesting, when we finish verse 13, because it is going to tie in with beginning chapter 9, we have the angel flying through the midst of the sky and the earth and gave three woes. All right? This is the first one. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. To them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared into battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth as the teeth of lions. And they had on breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. They had tails like unto scorpions, and their sting was in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do ask your blessing upon the service tonight. I pray, Lord, one, that you would be glorified and honored. Help me not to hinder this, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless and that your spirit would work. Lord, I pray that the truth that we see here would be clear, that would help us, would draw us closer to you, help us with our walk with you. And Father, help us to understand what is getting ready to come. And Father, please bless and work, Lord. I love you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Again, we're in the midst here of the tribulation time frame. We've already covered the seven seals from the peace, the war, the famine, and the death, to the martyrs, to the great earthquake that took place with the sixth seal being opened, and the seventh seal, which launched everything else that is to come, all the trumpets and the vials. And so we covered the four trumpets that were there. It had been 3 weeks ago now. We covered the four trumpets that were involved. We looked as a third of all of the earth's vegetation was destroyed. A third of the oceans were destroyed. A third of the fresh water was destroyed. And then we had a third of the moon and the sun darkened, which affected the entire earth. It went from a 24-hour day to a 16-hour day during that time. It just would have been so devastating upon the earth what took place. And so we developed that last time. We noticed that when we talked about this last time, those took all of 7 verses to cover those first 4 trumpets. The last ones take about 50 verses to cover just the next ones. And so we come to the fifth one, and that is the only one that we're going to be covering here. And it is a definite change here that takes place. We certainly live in a day when people mock hell. They choose not to believe in it. I looked up different statistics of those who attend church who believe in hell. I was trying to find some more current ones. And it seemed to hover, for those who attended church, usually around half to 60% would believe in hell. Some groups were up to as much as 80% said that they believed in hell. Everybody liked to believe in heaven. That was amazing. Heaven was way up there. But when it came to hell, no. We had problems with that. But the fact is, hell is real. It's a very real place, and we get a glimpse of it in our text here today. The Bible describes hell as a place of darkness in Matthew 22:13. It's a place of gnashing of teeth in Matthew chapter 13, a place of weeping in Matthew 22, a place of unquenchable fire in Matthew 3, a furnace of fire, Matthew 22 as well as here in Revelation chapter 9. A place of wailing. It's an everlasting fire, a place of no rest. Here it's also referred to as a bottomless pit, probably the very shaft that leads down into the pits of hell. And so it's a very real place. The Bible is very descriptive with it. It doesn't play games with it. And I assure you that when this day comes, nobody is going to be making jokes about hell anymore. So far, all the trials that have come upon the earth in this time of great tribulation have been from the heavens or the earth itself. That all changes. This is the first one literally out of hell. It will unleash a new kind of horror on the earth that has not been experienced before. I think it's possible that the people on the earth at this time really think they've taken all that God can give them. They probably think that they've seen it all, and maybe from that standpoint, they have received a lot from the heavens, but they haven't received anything from hell yet. And that's getting ready to take place. It will be so bad, as we're going to see, with this trumpet is released and what happens to men. We're going to try and break down what's really happening here. Is that they're going to seek death. All who are affected are simply going to want to die. Whoever is going to see death will flee from them. They won't be able to. You know, we need to understand a lot of these things that take place in the book of Revelation and during the tribulation time frame. One, it helps us know what God has delivered us from. What we will never have to go through His grace because of His salvation. He also wants the world to know what is coming in hopes that it leads to repentance. He's given fair warning ahead of time, telling us exactly what's going to take place when He judges this world. It also should motivate us to give the gospel out, knowing what is coming on this earth. But we're going to look tonight at this text here. Three things concerning. We're going to look at the destroyer himself, the deep referring to hell, and then the demons that are involved in this text. We'll try and cover the first two fairly quickly here, and so we can spend time on the demons that are released. So we have the fifth. We have the fifth angel who sounds his trumpet, and it describes it there in verse 1. Let's go back over the very first verse. It says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." The fifth angel sounds his trumpet, the star falls from heaven. Now, so far when we've seen stars falling from heaven, we are dealing with actual heavenly bodies. Whether it was a meteor, whether it was an asteroid, we weren't sure, but we are dealing with objects out of heaven that were striking the earth. That's no longer the case. This star falling from heaven might be almost how we view a star. Somebody that everybody knows. That there's nobody who doesn't know this person's name or who he is. We know it's a person, we know it's a being, because it's given unto him when he is fallen from heaven. There's a key given to him. It's going to be given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and that is the key to the bottomless pit. Again, the word fell here is key to understanding who we're dealing with. It's in the perfect tense, which I bring that up several times whenever I'm preaching, because it's an interesting verb. It's a continual action. In other words, the following here is dealing with a continuation of something that has taken place, which, again, lets us know who we are dealing with, and we are dealing with Satan himself. That's who it's referring to. Again, there's some debate to that, but it's fairly clear, I believe, when you study it out, that we are dealing with Satan. He was the one, the angel, Lucifer in heaven, he fell. Look over in Isaiah chapter 14. The Bible describes his fall from heaven. Starting there in verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne upon the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And it goes on to talk more about that, going down 16 and 17. But it describes for us when Satan fell, or what led to it, I should say. His pride, wanting to be like the Most High God, and the Lord recognizing that. We know from Revelation chapter 12, as well as different sections, that when he fell, a third of the angels fell with him. Those would be all the demons that we're going to be dealing with. We don't know exactly when this took place. We know it had to take place sometime between creation itself, because all the hosts of heaven were created during that week of creation. We see that by the conclusion of Genesis chapter 1. And then by the time we get to Genesis chapter 3, Satan's already fallen. All right. So sometime in that window is when the events of Isaiah take place and Satan falls to the earth. That's not the first time he's really banished from heaven. It's at this time he's banished from dwelling in heaven. But we know that he still had access to heaven because we see him there in the book of Job, which is actually the earliest book written in the Bible would be Job. And he is the accuser of the brethren. We see that brought up also in Revelation chapter 12. That's exactly what he's doing in the book of Job. And so he has allowed entrance into heaven, but he doesn't stay there. And that's where he goes and comes, he goes and comes, he goes and comes, but that's going to change. And I believe the event that we're seeing and take place in Revelation chapter 9 is what's going to be brought out even clearer in Revelation chapter 12. And that's when he's permanently banished from heaven. There's a war in heaven between Michael and the angels and Satan and his demons that were with him, and he is tossed out permanently. He's no longer allowed to go back and forth. That is over with. So that day will come. The devil is very real. The Bible describes, of course, as the tempter, as we see him in the garden, the prince of the power of the air. He, again, as I already mentioned, becomes the accuser of the brethren. He is the one who introduces false doctrines about God, the doctrines of devils. He can appear as an angel of light. He seeks to destroy. He is the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He knows what he's doing. He's been doing it for 6,000 years now. He has not been in hell yet. That day is coming. Again, we see him kicked out of heaven. And again, I believe it's possibly Revelation 9 is referring also to that event when he's taken out. He is given the key by the Lord to the bottomless pit. He's going to be allowed to release demons that are in hell already. So that takes us to the second point, the bottomless pit itself. Let me head back to the book of Revelation. The key was given to the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. We don't have no idea exactly this location. We do know that it is earth-related is what we're dealing with. So Satan knows right where this access is. This bottomless pit is opened. It's either describing all of hell itself or simply the shaft that leads right to it. Again, and the smoke rises and infects the atmosphere of the earth. It's darkened by it. It's smoke directly out of hell itself. That furnace of fire where the souls of men who are apart from Christ are dwelling right now. The place was created. Hell was created for devil and his angels. However, it also serves as the holding place for all those who are apart from Christ awaiting judgment. After judgment takes place, of course, this hell is destroyed, where the men who have been judged and found guilty will spend the eternity in a lake of fire. So it's a very real place. But then within this smoke, we see something else taking place. Notice what it says in verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now we get into the actual plague of what's getting ready to hit the earth. And we're dealing with demonic creatures that are in hell right now, and they're being released. Satan comes, is given this key, he opens it, the smoke is billowing out, it darkens the atmosphere, and all of a sudden these demonic creatures are flying out. Now please understand, there have been some demons who have been reserved in hell. These are the ones that we're dealing with right now. Let's take a look over in 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2. I'm going to establish something here, three different sections of Scripture of how the Lord takes some of these demonic creatures that decide to cross some line. I don't believe there's any set line. Sometimes you see it taught as a set line they cross. We're going to see that's not the case. But they do cross a line before God, and God says, that's enough. You are in hell right now. these would be the worst of all the demons. So anyhow, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it talks about, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So again, this is a verse here that is referring to a group of angels that are fallen, but they're not free on the earth. They're not going to and fro on the earth right now between heaven and hell. They're not possessing anybody. They are reserved in judgment in chains right now. Look over in Jude. Go over to Jude. Jude 6. Here's another group. And angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Again, here's another group of angels that have been locked away already. They're already in hell. They're already there because it says they left their own habitation. Let me cover this quickly. Many say this is referring to Genesis chapter 6. I do not believe that it is. You have a case in Genesis chapter 6 right before God destroyed the flood. We have verses that refer to how the sons of God knew the daughters of men. And then it talks in the following verses how there were giants in the land of those days. So there's a doctrine that is taught that what we have taking place there is angels that came unto the unto women and knew them physically, and they produced children, and those children were the giants in the earth in those days. And that sounds all good and everything. It kind of makes up for why we see also we have men that are 7-8 to close to 10 foot tall in some cases. However, that's completely impossible. It's not impossible that some of the angels left their first habitation and maybe tried to be with women, but it's impossible for them to produce children. We know from the book from Sodom and Gomorrah that the men of Sodom and Gomorrah were trying to lay with the angels that had visited the house. But they cannot produce children. It's impossible. You go back to Genesis chapter 1. Everything is after its own kind. Everything's after its own kind. Just because an angel can look like a human does not give him man's seed. It would also go against the principle of Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 because sin comes from Adam's seed on down. It could not be, the giants could not be children, the offspring of a mix between angels and humans. The Bible doesn't teach that. That is put together by assumption. Yet it goes against solid principles that are in the Word of God. Again, it doesn't mean that some of these angels that left their habitation, you know, they might be there for different things that took place of a perversion, of some type of a perverse nature. But children certainly weren't produced because they did not have the seed of man and it wasn't after their kind. Does that make sense? So we have, and look at this. Let's look at another section. I'm going to show you some. Look over in Luke. Remember the maniac at Gadara? We looked at him in Matthew. There's something interesting here I want to point out to you. Luke's account draws this out, along really with Matthew's. They both do, but I want to look at Luke's first, and then I'll tell you how Matthew words it. And I have no idea where I'm at in my notes. Okay, good. Here I am. Luke chapter 8. Let's pick it up here. And this is because I believe, by the way, I think what we're seeing here is going to help us understand what's taking place in Revelation chapter 9 with the fifth trumpet, by the way. I want to try and make a connection. let's see. Let's describe what's happening to the man. He was tormented, verse 28, for he hath commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion. Because many devils entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the, what's the word there? Into the deep. Now, when you look at Matthew's account, how Matthew words that, that is the demons pleading, don't torment us before the time. So what these demons, what they were afraid they just did, with all of them in this one man and tormenting him so much that God was getting ready to say, you've crossed the line. You're now heading into the deep. You're now heading to hell right now. I'm done with you. They were pleading for him not to judge them before that time. They know judgment's coming. They know hell is in their future. And they know there's multitudes of demons already there because they've done something so grievous that the Creator intervened and said, you're in hell right now. And so that's what they're pleading for, is not to go there at this time. So we have demons that are in hell already. And these are the demons that are going to be released upon the earth. Think about that. I mean, we already have a lot of demonic activity on the earth. But think when Satan and all his demons that go back and forth, they're completely banished from there. They're only on the earth. And the Lord allows, by measure of the fifth trumpet, to release the most vile and set them free on the earth. I mean, imagine if all of a sudden one commentator brought up a good point. If we were to open up all the prisons of the world and let out every single rapist, murderer, every single criminal, and just say, have your way. That would be pretty bad. But it would be child's play compared to hell being released. And that's what the fifth trumpet is about. God allows Satan to head down there and say, free them. They can go free. For a limited time. It's going to be a limited time. These are the demons that have been reserved unto judgment are going to be set free. It's described, of course, as a locust that comes out in the sense that they will devour. It's not the vegetation they're going to devour, as it says. That's not what they're interested in, people, in men. This is what they're going after. This is why they were put there anyhow, because of their treatment of men. And so they're going to be allowed to be released. It says the only ones that they're not allowed to hurt would be the 144,000. However, I actually believe in this case that this would include all who are converted. All right? I don't believe the nature of this trumpet is actually going to affect you. You say, how do you know that? Let me see if I can establish this real quick. I understand that this is something that I can't be too dogmatic on, but I do think there's some scripture for it. And I think it's important because of how I believe this plague is going to affect those on the earth. I believe it's Revelation 3. It might take me a second to find the verse. Yes. All right. Now get this. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. We looked at this, of course, coming through. I'm going to tie this. We can actually go back into Ephesians with us being sealed before God, as believers being sealed. But Revelation 3:12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. All right, he's written upon him. Now, tie this over in Revelation. I want to show you something here. Revelation chapter 22. In verse 4. Let's see where the name is written. We know that they're sealed because they're believers. But I need to establish this in Revelation 22:4, where this name is written. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their what? In their foreheads. Then we come back to Revelation chapter 9. And it says in verse 4, and they commanded them, they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So I believe it's very possible and likely that that remark is not simply referring only to the 144,000, but all those who convert because of the nature of the judgment from this trumpet. And I believe that's covered by those verses. We know that these demonic creatures, when they're released, are going to be, it's a time frame that is given. It's 5 months. They'll be released for a 5 month time frame, which happens to coincide with the life of a locust. It's 5 months. It also happens to be the time of the rising flood waters when you go back to Genesis chapter 7 and the flood. But they're going to give a 5 month time frame to afflict men on the earth. It says that their torment was like that of a scorpion. Now, scorpions can kill a person, although it's not very common. Some infants and elderly, and there's some other ones that can. One of the most deadliest is one that is found in the nation of Israel. Now, there's some interesting things as I was studying this out. Let's see if I can find where I'm at here. It is said that the Middle Eastern desert, which is where this Israelis one happens to be found, by the way, is said to produce the most painful sting known to man. So these demons will sting men. It's going to lead to this great pain that they want their life to end. They are going to begin seeking death. but they're not going to be able to find it. They're going to desire to die, it says. I don't know exactly how all that's going to come about, how they're going to try and desire to die, or if they're going to try and drown themselves and it won't work, or however. But we do know this, God's not going to allow them to die. So what is the sting? I'm going to tie this in with a scorpion here. I think it's interesting. Is this something physical? I don't know. How many have ever seen this, the Thief in the Night series? How many have seen that from back in the 70s? I did. I remember seeing that thing. I watched that thing when I was a teenager a ton of times. And you remember how they showed the shadow of like a giant scorpion thing coming in and hitting men? It was always something physical in nature. I don't believe men will see these creatures. Just like what John has been able to see. He's seeing the spirit world. He's seeing the angels in heaven. He's seeing everything that we don't see, that our eyes are closed to right now. I don't believe men see this coming. All right? I don't think so. I think it's going to be a time of tremendous demonic activity on the earth. Satan is no longer allowed in heaven. All those demons are with him. The demons of hell are released. And the demons' ultimate strength against men was always to possess them. I think men are going to be tormented by these demons that are released, by possessing them and stinging their souls. Well, it's going to affect them physically, as we're going to see. It will have a great effect on them physically. But I believe there's going to be mass demonic possession taking place by these creatures into men, to the point of their very souls being stung by them, causing incredible pain and them seeking death and wanting to die. Again, the maniac of Gadara is a great example of this, of all the torture that he was in, of all that he was going through, being possessed by all of these demons. And yet he was not possessed by the worst of the demons. The Lord did not cast those demons from the maniac of Gadara into hell. So there's something even worse with these, the torment that they will give to men. Now what is interesting is the reaction to a severe scorpion sting, which is so similar to demonic activity. This is from a website that I researched today on what happens, what is the reaction you look for when you are stung by one of these severe scorpions, one of the most painful ones. And if you want to look it up, the website was survivaldoctor.com. Here's the symptoms. Increased salivation, which will allow foaming at the mouth. Blurred vision, trouble focusing, slurred speech, muscle twitches, abdominal cramps, seizures, and trouble breathing is what you will look for. Kind of sounds like the maniac of Gadara to some degree. Well, I think that's one of the imageries that God's giving us of what's taking place of these horrible creatures, I believe, that will be possessing men. And again, think about this, what's taking place. As this is going out throughout the entire world, to whatever effect that the Lord is allowing this to happen, whether it is through possession, whether it's through some other means that these demonic creatures are affecting all of men. But think of how crippling it's going to be to the world. The world will literally is going to come to a stop basically for 5 months. I mean, when I had malaria, you know, by day two, I didn't want to move. You couldn't ask me to do anything, let alone going through something like this that's so severe that all who are affected, they simply want to die to the point they're seeking death, trying to find anybody to kill them. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. This is why we have mentioned throughout all of this three woes. This is the first one. This is literally hell being released on earth. These are those who have been reserved for judgment. And it's not only for their own judgment now we're understanding, but also for the judgment on the earth. It'll be crippling. The economy will shut down. Men will fail to be able to operate in any meaningful capacity. They're just going to be seeking death. And they'll be unable to find it. So I think what we have happen here is these demonic creatures that are released, and the Lord enabling them to be able to possess men, stinging them so fiercely, it's crippling to the effects of the of what we're seeing, even from perhaps a very poisonous scorpion. I believe it's going to be filled with demon possession that is going to be torturing men, not like the average demon possession that you see, just like those with the maniac at Gadara. They knew they were crossing a line with this possession. They knew they were really pushing a boundary with God. Well, that boundary is going to be removed when the demons out of hell are released and God's going to allow them to have their way. Then the Bible gets into their appearance. And we'll cover this quickly and we'll be done. It describes them even more. Again, John is relating them to a creature that he can respond to, that what he recognizes when he sees them coming out. We're not talking about little critters right here. It says, verse 5, it was given unto them, they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts now. Now it describes them. John describes what he sees as these creatures are coming out of hell. He said, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Horses prepared for battle. These things are coming to inflict damage. They're not coming to play around. They are coming to inflict damage. They're coming as if it is a battle. They know where they're going. They've been held up. They've been pent up. And they're allowed now to inflict men. And that's exactly what they're going to do. It says, and on their heads, as it were, crowns like gold. The crown here is interesting. It's the victor's crown that we see a few times in the New Testament. There's different words for crowns. But this is the victor's crowns, meaning they're going to win at this. Another, I believe that's referring to is the fact that man's not going to find a cure. They're going to panic looking to see what's leading to this giant plague that is hitting the entire earth at one time. This enormous pain that is in, they're going to have no idea. That's why I don't think they're going to see, giant scorpion-like creatures flying through the air and getting stung by them. I think we're dealing with actual possession here of these creatures that are hitting men, and they don't know what's happening. Men are wallowing in pain. The possession, the demons thrashing them about as however they want. And they simply want to die. And the demons know, remember, they have to get permission from God to kill. And God's letting them know, they don't die. You do what you will, but they're not dying. They're coming to battle. They're coming to win. Man will try and find their own cure from it. But again, as so often is the case, they're going to fail to realize this is something spiritual in nature. They will not find a cure. It also speaks to them next of having face like a man. It speaks to their intelligence. They know what they're doing. These aren't stupid creatures. They're going to know exactly what they're doing. Hair like women. I think this hair like women has to do with an attractiveness to lure men into their seduction, into their, you know, into allowing the possession to take place. It's, I remember one commentator point, I'd laugh when I read it. He said as he was reading this, I don't know if it was Phillips or who it was, he said it reminded him of a rock band. A face of a man and a hair like a lady. By the way, it does establish there is such things as hair like a lady and hair like a man. Not only that, but they had teeth like lions. So not only do they have the power to inflict by their sting from their scorpion-like tail, but they also have the power to inflict from their teeth, which a lion's teeth speaks of devouring. And then a breastplate of iron is also described. I think that's simply saying there's not one person going to get any compassion from any of these creatures. No compassion whatsoever. Wings that are loud and rushing as if multitudes of horses coming. In other words, they're going to move fast. They're going to strike quick. They're going to move. This is what's going to be released with that fifth trumpet. It's why it's a woe. Again, everything else has been heaven-related or of the earth. This is the first time that that God sends something that had been reserved for such a time as this. Now it describes, let's get down to the last couple of verses here. It says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. So who are we dealing with here? It says, well, they have a king over, which is interesting because when you go to the book of Proverbs, it says the locusts have no king. But these have a king. So again, we're not dealing with real locusts. And the locusts don't have a queen because it's not like a swarm of bees. You get to the queen and you move the queen, you can move the whole hive. With a locust, there's not one locust you can go after that you're going to affect. There's not a king among them. But these things do have a king. And it's debatable who it is. I think it's fairly clear. There's a verse in Job, I'm not going to turn there, that we're not necessarily dealing with Satan right here. But most likely, this was the head demon, if you will, the highest ranking one that was incarcerated by God. And he is the one that's in charge of this mess here that's taking place right now. And again, it certainly is possible that it is Satan, but knowing of all the offices of Satan and knowing what takes place here, along with this man also referred to in the book of Job and him having to be, it's in a sense of being revealed at that point in Job, I think we're dealing with just simply a high level demon in Satan's army that most likely was incarcerated himself. And then we conclude this with verse 12. Where it lets us know this is one of the three woes that was spoken about in the conclusion of chapter 8. One woe was past, and behold, two woes more hereafter. Again, the woe to the earth was simply putting men into the hand of demons. And in some of those that were without a doubt the most vilest, the most wretched, and God enables them to serve as an instrument of judgment upon the earth, upon mankind. That will happen. That day will take place. And again, as I started this off, that simply reminds us, one, to be so thankful for what God has spared us from. Two, to serve as warning to the world that the Lord desires them to repent so they don't go through this. And three, to motivate us to try and preach the gospel to others. And so, if the Lord worked on your heart, we want to give you opportunity to respond. With heads bowed and eyes